Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you're an important part of our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you. So today, we're taking your comments and your questions. If you're watching, it's Monday, and it's a live broadcast. Please give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So the question for today's show is this: what lessons can we learn from Jesus' friendship with Martha and Mary and Lazarus? And we have much to learn. It was an intimate, beautiful friendship. And we're gonna talk about that. And we had some responses from people, which was lovely. But over the weekend, our church celebrated Grandparents' Day, right? Of St. Anne and St. Joachim. And they were the grandparents of Jesus. Yes. And so we have 17 grandchildren. And then Saturday night, our grandkids are in transitions. You know, some of them are older, going off to college. Some have graduated college, getting ready to start new jobs. Some are getting ready, they got married. Yeah, so they're kind of like in lots of different places. And then our youngest grandchild is Amelia. And so we go from 25 down to 5.
Yeah.
So we're in lots of different playing fields and praying fields of life.
And that was the fourth annual day for grandparents celebrated there at the Vatican, for grandparents and for the elderly.
Yes.
July 28th. It's a beautiful thing, and we're part of the Grandparents Association.
We are.
If you're a grandparent and you're not a part of that, you should be. It's just absolutely wonderful. And we got to, over the years, they were hoping that the Vatican, a pope would say, this is the day every year that you're going to be doing this. And I think it was Pope Francis that finally, Benedict was very supportive.
Yes.
And then finally there's this day for grandparents. And so that's what the picture is about. Not all of our grandkids, but some
not
of them.
Not all of them, just some of them. We went to dinner and celebrated.
Yes. We took them out to eat for Grandparents' Day. There's something wrong with that. They shouldn't have taken us out.
It will all come back, I promise.
What lessons can we learn from Jesus' friendship with Martha, Mary, Lazarus? 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. What do you think? Did Jesus need friends? Why was this family so special? What do you think about each of those persons and their relationship with Jesus? We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. We want to hear from you. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, remember that we're taking your questions and your comments on our show today. So if you're watching, we're here. Monday broadcast is live. Give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. Today, this is the question. What lessons can we learn from Jesus' friendship with Martha and Mary and Lazarus?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things, you know, we were reading over everything. We were doing a little study on it. It gets a little complicated, but one of the things that I loved, my takeaway, was Martha's relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
In how she, as a good, strong Jewish woman friend, she was really very intimate and comfortable with him, and she could go, she went to him, she challenged him. She was like, Jesus, make this right. Like, look, Mary's just here, I'm doing everything. Like, you just couldn't do that to a casual acquaintance.
Yeah.
You could sit, you could speak your heart and mind to a dearly beloved friend. and she did a heart dump. And she was able to say, I'm really frustrated, like my sister isn't doing what she needs to be doing. Yeah. And she felt extremely intimate and comfortable to say that to Jesus, who yeah. just happens to be yeah. the King of Kings yeah. and the Lord of Lords. But she had that. And then she goes after him yet again. I mean, Mary doesn't do that. Martha does that, and she does it twice. And then she goes after him and she says to him, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died, yeah. because she has an intimate encounter with him. She's trusting, she's caring, she loves him, she knows he isn't yeah. going to be offended by what she's saying. Yeah. He corrects her. She can obviously share her heart with him and know that he's going to love her and be with her and correct her, yeah. like a good friend would do when you have something to say. I mean, I think out of the whole story,
you like Martha.
Martha became my BFF. Yeah. She really did. I really mm-hmm. appreciated her intimate union with yeah. Jesus.
And Martha, at the meal, you know, Jesus is the one who said, I did not come here to be served, mm-hmm. but to serve and to give my life. So Martha's like, that's what I'm doing. You mm-hmm. said you didn't come to be served, but to serve. I'm like you, Jesus. I'm serving here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got your scriptures here. I'm mm-hmm. serving. But that wasn't the stress at that time. Mm-hmm. So service and contemplation, because Mary was contemplative. It seems when she was around Jesus, she was at the feet of Jesus learning. She will anoint Jesus with the costly ointment. She will wash his feet with her hair. But it's not like they're in opposition to each other. Mm-hmm. There's a season, there's a time right. for every purpose under heaven. And so Jesus is like, in this case, saying, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. And Martha's like, well, we're preparing this whole meal for you. Now you're talking about man doesn't mm-hmm. live by bread alone. So it's both of those things. My Father's serving, I'm serving, but there's a time not to eat. Mm-hmm. There's a time just for me to be with you and to listen to what I have to say. So we have a comment here, Joy.
We have Olson on the phone from Illinois. Olson, welcome to At Home with Jim and Joy. Your question or your comment?
Well, my comment was, you show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. The people that you hang around with definitely influence you. And I could see how privileged Lazarus and Mary and Martha were to have actually known Jesus and seen him. It's like, you know, the Protestants mean well when they say Jesus is the main guy to go to. But let me tell you know the mother, you know the son. That mother will tell you all about the son, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and it's really true. And the beautiful thing that I love, that it even gives us a window in that Jesus needed and wanted friends. He felt really safe to go there and to be with them and to just be with them,
yeah.
to be in their company, to be in their conversation, just as you and I would do when we go over a very close friend's house.
Yeah.
You feel really comfortable, you can relax, you could, as Mary did, let your hair down. And,
I like that.
And so, you know, because there's deep love. There's deep care.
Yeah.
There's intimate union. You know, it's not the friend where you have to be guarded about everything yeah. that you say, that they're going to think, oh my gosh, she's going to think bad of me if I say this or I think this.
And this raises an interesting point, because you would say, you're saying Jesus seemed to need that friendship. Well, isn't he divine?
Mm-hmm.
Because God doesn't need anything.
Right.
He's self-contained. So what's this with Jesus needing people? No, they need him. So it gets confused. But Jesus is also perfectly human.
Yeah.
And so Jesus not only demonstrates before us the supreme nature of God, who we are to adore and bow to, and people do that with Jesus Christ, but he also shows us what it means to be a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings need other human beings. And they need special friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And they need that fellowship.
Yes.
Jesus could have come any way he wanted. He came as a human being. He had a mother and a father, you know, an adoptive father. And he chose to be in a family.
Mm-hmm.
And he chooses to have friends and community. Some of them seem more special than others, although he loves everybody equally. And so that's what we're learning. Do you have a community of people? Do you have a place where you can go? Do you welcome people into your home? Do you invite your priest into your home, your deacon, sisters? You know, if you're capable of doing that, if you're a place in life where you can do that, do they even want to come to your house?
You know? Right.
Do they know they're safe there? Right. It's a welcoming spirit. Yeah.
Someone wrote, this is Rita from Utah, and she asks the question, what does Joy think of the fact that there were women in Jesus' life? Well, what I think about that is that it's great and wonderful because Jesus truly lifts up the dignity and the value and the beauty of the feminine genius and who women were. Jesus came from a mother. He came from God and a mother. And here he's in intimate union with women here on earth. He had beloved women in his life. And especially in that culture, especially where he meets the Samaritan woman, all the women that are in his life, Mary Magdalene, and just how he lifts them up, the woman who was caught in adultery, and how he says to her, let you who have no sin cast the first stone. Well, nobody throws anything. And what does he say to her? Then he is with her and he says, now, woman, I don't condemn you, but now go and sin no more. And that's what Jesus says to us. When we are caught in sin and the way that we are as women, Jesus lifts us up from the worst version of ourselves and makes us the best version of ourselves.
Yeah.
But it is our part. We got to participate in the holy encounter that we're having, that we have to then go and sin no more. No matter what our sin is, whether it's impatience or unkindness or lying or stealing or being an alcoholic or a drug addict or sexual promiscuity or abortion, whatever the sin is, we are forgiven when we repent and we return to Jesus. And then he says to you and to me, but now go and sin no more. And that is the joy and the beauty of a holy life lived out, because you've had an encounter with Jesus. It changes everything. If it doesn't change everything, then you need to find out, did I really have an encounter with him? Look what he did to Mary and Martha. That relationship, I mean, he raised their brother from the dead. That changes everything. That changes how they lived in their land and who they were, because they identified with Jesus, just like the 12 disciples did. And so it's that encounter. And here we are in 2024. Does it matter? Does it matter in your marriage? Does it matter in your job? Does it matter in your friendships? That Jesus is with you, that Jesus has encountered you, and that Jesus has set your heart on fire? Is your heart burning within you because you read the scriptures, you know the scriptures, you encounter him in the Eucharist, you encounter him in the sacraments of confession, and hopefully you encounter him in adoration? Jesus makes all the difference to men and women and boys and girls.
We have a comment here, Joy. I've learned that we need to cultivate more meaningful relationships, not only with our spouses and family. Even the Son of God needed human relationships while here on earth. This is Das from Facebook. Yeah, again, Jesus is living out. Jesus is as one holy man has said, Jesus is not only the Savior of the world seeking us out, he's the supreme worshiper of God the Father. He's the supreme worshiper. He's the supreme human being. And so we watch him as a human being and say, oh, this is the way we worship.
Right.
Oh, this is the way we have friendships.
Right.
This is the way we forgive when we're hurt. So we need to understand that we look at Jesus not only as divine, but human. Two natures, divine and human. And Jesus teaches us what it means to be a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say, Lord, fill my heart, fill my mind, that I could be the best human being I could be. I want to follow in your steps as much as I could do that with my unique life. And teach me how to be a worshiper of yours and a worshiper of your Father, because you gave him such beautiful worship. Teach me how to be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me how to be a listener. Teach me how to be a blessing to other people. And, you know, it doesn't we don't have many, many friends, right? And he had that inner circle of Peter, James, and John within the midst of the 12. Is it okay to have these, what seem to be more intimate relationships? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. You can't be, you know, intimate with every person who's your friend. There's different layers of friendship.
Right.
But we're called to be friends. Jesus didn't just say, you know, you're my disciples or you're my project to save. You're my friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow, how we need to relearn what friendship means and loyalty and forgiveness and loving someone in that way.
And it's important for us to learn, especially in 2024, you know, as we're all on social media and we think we have friends. You have no friends on social media until you have a friend that you're sitting side by side with and sharing your heart with, as Jesus did with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, as Jesus did with John and with the disciples and those that he loved. And so you need to be known, and no man is an island. You need to share your heart, and you need to have someone who's going to share their heart with you to suffer with, as Jesus did with Lazarus.
Yeah, I think Martha made one of the greatest professions of faith.
Right.
Like Peter said, no, you're the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And at that time, when she did say, you know, and again, I'm not reading it, so if you were here, my brother would not have died.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jesus says something like, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. You know, do you believe this?
Yeah, and she goes, what? Yeah, I do.
She says, I do. I believe you're the Messiah.
Right.
I believe you're the Son of the living God. She's saying it at this point, not at our our point in time.
It hasn't happened yet.
I mean, she's saying, mm-hmm. you are the Messiah.
Yes.
And then, of course, we know that, they're fantastic. Lazarus is just amazing, being raised from the dead. What's that all about? What was his story? And then they want to kill Lazarus during Holy Week.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were seeking out a way to kill him, to end his life again. And yet he walks with the Lord into Jerusalem. What a great family. May we be families, one, two, or three of us, that Jesus would want to come and that we would welcome him. Let's begin welcoming him in our hearts and in our minds and consecrating our homes to Jesus Christ and to his blessed mother. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, before we wrap up today's show, we're going to go straight to Rome to check in with beautiful Joan Lewis. Now, Joan is going to be offering a reflection on how we can grow in the spiritual life through the examples of Saints Martha, Mary, and Lazarus.
Well, hi, Jim and Joy, and greetings from my home to yours. You know what a fascinating focus you have this week. What can we learn from Jesus' relationship with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? Of course, they're probably the most famous three siblings in the Bible. Well, I want to start with the most obvious. We are all social beings. We were born to be with other people, to live with them, to learn from them, to share with them. We share memories, we share temporal goods, we share stories, we may even share a hug. And there are, of course, different types of relationships. There's those found within a family. So we have parents and children. And then relationships that spring from a friendship, especially from deep friendships, where people share their lives, their stories, their doubts, their fears on a very personal level with no holds barred. Now, if you think back to it, Jesus did not see Martha, Mary, and Lazarus as just acquaintances or among his followers. He engaged with them on a very personal level. And of course, we had Martha. She was the active one who served Jesus. And then we had Mary more on the contemplative level. And actually, this dynamic, active and contemplative, shows how how very different relationships can be established. Now, I want to look back at one other aspect, and that was when their brother Lazarus died, Mary and Martha expressed their deep grief to Jesus. And what does this tell us? By opening up their hearts It shows us how necessary it is in life to share our struggles with other people. Because what can friendships do? Friendships, they keep us from isolation and perhaps even depression. They bring us happiness. They bring, they bring us happiness. They bring us relief from stress, shall we say. So friendships are very important in life, and especially the emotional support that comes from friendships. That's absolutely crucial. So some interesting things to learn from Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But you know, I don't want to leave you with just words about your focus. I want to give a shout out to Pope Francis for his words on Sunday at the Angelus to grandparents. Pardon me. Sunday, of course, was the fourth World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly. And the theme this year was, "Do not cast me off in my old age." And so Francis said, he said, "This day calls us to listen to the voice of the elderly who say, 'Do not abandon me,' and we respond, 'I will not abandon you.'" He urged the faithful to work to strengthen the alliance between grandparents and grandchildren, between young people and the elderly. "Let us say no," said Francis, "to the loneliness of the elderly. Our future depends a great deal on the relationships between grandparents and grandchildren. We must learn to live together." And on those words, the Holy Father shouted from his window, "Let's give an applause to grandparents everywhere." And all the faithful in St. Peter's Square did just that. They applauded grandparents. So if you're a grandparent, much love and blessings from Rome. But on that note, back to you.
Thank you so much, Joan. Just a beautiful devotion. And thank you for always welcoming us into your home. Join us next time for an interview with Sarah Beth Meyer about bringing the gospel and the beauty of the liturgical seasons to children through story and illustration. Welcome Jesus into your home. Every time you welcome someone, in every face is the face of God. Oh, how I wish Jesus would have come into my house. Jesus comes in disguises through the people we have in, especially grandparents and parents. Invite them into your home. God bless you. You're never alone. You're an important part of the EWTN family, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.